News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Time now 4:36 p.m. You guys are getting into the afternoon drive time. I know you are. Beautiful day for driving. Beautiful day also to stop and get yourself a bite to eat at Just Love Coffee Cafe. Or you might want to consider this. When you're heading in tomorrow morning, if in fact you can get over to South Memorial Parkway's location for Just Love Coffee Cafe or the one out in Madison on Hughes Road near City Hall, then you might want to consider saying, you know what, it's Friday, and on Friday, I'm going to treat myself to an irregular cup of coffee, like something like I would not normally get, like I'm going to just like basically have breakfast in a cup. How about this one? I'm looking at the Just Love Coffee Cafe menu. They got one called the Toffee Coffee. They describe it as a delectable combination of toffee nut, caramel, and dark chocolate. Your sweet tooth will thank you. That, my friends, is like breakfast dessert is what that is. Or they have another one called the cha-cha. A smooth, dark chocolate touch with just enough hazelnut and amaretto to get your cha-cha on. That's what they say on their menu. I love that. Just Love Coffee Cafe. And by the way, this is an organization that does a huge amount for the community. They're not just a cafe where you buy food and coffee. They really give back. They're constantly doing fundraisers for Girl Scouts and for, you know, local high school groups and all that. Support them too. That's what we should do. So Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison and another on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. You check them out. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I got some calls. Yeah, great. Two calls on the line. Let me go ahead and grab those while I can. If you want to call in, by the way, 866-494-9866. Line one, Scott from Decatur. Hey, Scott, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
Okay, so how are you doing today?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Campaign contributions are something that I have a big issue with.
Okay.
In that we are a representative republic. So my belief is that while it's free speech, they should only come from voting constituents, individuals, no organizations, no unions, no businesses, no PACs.
Yeah,
you're supposed to represent the people, so that money should come from the people.
Here's the problem with that, legally speaking. All right, legally speaking, first of all, it's already been adjudicated, but legally speaking, a corporate entity like a corporation or an LLC or a nonprofit like a union or something else, those are considered legal entities that have the same level of standing under the law, generally speaking, as an individual would. And so to deny them opportunities to participate in the process is almost akin to denying a person. Not quite, but it has similarities. And so you get into some issues there. And I'm not disagreeing with you because it's amazing to watch special interest money flood in. Now, we've done some things to restrict dark money groups. They still try. But we've done some things to restrict some of the ways in which money gets flooded in and to require transparency. But I don't know that you're ever going to stop the ability of a company or an association to give money to a campaign right now.
See, I believe we should just write the law that if you are a registered voter, you can contribute to a campaign. If you're not a registered voter, you can't.
Well, and I think there have been attempts at that, and so far no go. But I hear your angst, and the ones that bother me are the ones that have already been rule violators or law violators, and then they jump in and they just keep on, you know, paying for campaigns to get what they want. Scott, thanks for the call, man. I got somebody else on line two, so let me run grab that real quick. Line two, Mike from Huntsville. Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today, man?
I'm great. Phil, listen, there's a couple of things I wanted to kind of go on. That gentleman's call was pretty important because what you're talking about, the United States Supreme Court ruled that corporations are persons within the meaning of it, and I realize that's problematic. But what you have examples of that is what's happening in the Moe Bush campaign right now is these PACs are secretly usually funded by Mitt Romney or even Democrats, you know, against Moe. You'll see that. But the next thing I wanted to mention is the Second Amendment issue, because I helped draft the sanctuary state law in Alabama regarding that being a protection of the Second Amendment, and which is similar to those like in Missouri and other places. But here's the issue about that is that somebody mentioned, and they're wrong about this, is that Merrick Garland, for example, has some kind of jurisdiction over the Second Amendment where the Constitution is delegated and reserved powers. And what you have right now is the delegated power to the federal government doesn't have anything to do with the Second Amendment. Under the National Firearms Act 1932, they basically seized jurisdiction, and the states acquiesced to it because, like Bonnie and Clyde. So that's how they're trying to do it. The only other way they can do it is by interstate commerce. But theoretically and really legally, the federal government doesn't have the control of the Second Amendment they seized illegally. So I just wanted to mention that, because a lot of times people call and say, well, it wouldn't do any good to do a sanctuary state. And so I beg to differ.
All right. Great point, man. And that's why, and you're right. That's why the 10th Amendment that allows state sovereignty in terms of their own state laws and issues that don't otherwise supersede federal law. We can have state laws that deal with things like gun permits and constitutional carry because states are allowed to have a say. Good call, man. Appreciate you, Mike. Absolutely. Thanks very much. All right. Listen, folks, there's a lot going on. If you want to call in, by the way, we'll keep the phone lines open, 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. Call me and tell me what you're thinking. But right now, I do want to point out that there have been a number of updates today coming out of Ukraine. I do believe that this is the biggest story right now of the decade and one of the biggest stories of the century. And I don't say that to be overly dramatic. Think about it. I mean, this is what we're talking about right now is war in Europe like we have not seen since World War II. And so it's big doings. Now, right now, here's one report. There are 100,000 U.S. troops currently in Europe. There are. Not that we sent them there recently. A lot of them were already stationed there as a permanent change of station, a PCS move for them. And so we have 100,000 troops, including those that have been moved. Now, we did up the numbers in terms of what was sent most recently. So it was starting out to be like a couple thousand. And then it turned into several thousand. And then it turned into, last I saw, was roughly 12,500. So just understand, too, as we're looking at this, currently, as NATO increases its presence in the eastern flanks and sort of begins to prop up the borders with Russian aggression, that while we may not be putting boots on the ground, that NATO currently has about 100,000 U.S. troops currently in Europe as of this week. Some of the things that are happening too are pretty amazing. I hope you've seen the video of that beautiful theater building in Mariupol. Mariupol is one of these cities on the Baltic. And if you're looking at, I'm talking about the Baltic, the Black Sea, and as you're looking at the map of Ukraine, it would be down sort of in the southeastern portion, just to the east of the Crimean Peninsula on the Black Sea. Mariupol is a key city in part of the march of the Russian campaign. Now, things have been happening in Mariupol that have been pretty amazing. Not the least of which is there was a big, beautiful theater there. It was just called the Theater of Mariupol, I believe. But it was a sort of a Gothic building. It had a Greek Revival look to it. It looked like something out of Washington, D.C. And there are reports that there was a massive basement being used as a bomb shelter by civilians, and that they had even marked the grounds outside in large letters for overflight to see it, saying, you know, children, meaning that there's children in this building. Apparently it didn't matter. Russia bombed it pretty much into oblivion. Well, right now, what we're hearing is that rescuers rushing through the rubble are beginning to actually pull survivors out. It had been a real concern that there had been massive death, and there may still be. But there's real concern that they were all going to be gone, and apparently they are pulling out some. Another report, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, and I'll probably wind up having this audio tomorrow on the show when I do a more in-depth update, stated recently, today actually, he said, if Putin doesn't take Kyiv, the capital, he fails. I tend to agree with that. I mean, what am I know? I'm just the colonel. He's the lieutenant general. But the reality is, his point is well taken. The seat of government, the place from which Zelensky is broadcasting his challenges to the world, the place where there has been almost zero progress by I think it's a three-pronged assault on Kyiv. If Putin can't take Kyiv, he fails. My concern is, what's he going to do to Kyiv in trying to take it? Because what we're seeing right now is Russia's madness is being taken out on the civilian populace. That's the next part of the story. A lot of things happening lately. Just yesterday, in what appeared to be like an off-script moment, President Biden, walking through a gaggle of reporters, had questions being yelled at him as usual. And he actually stopped and looked at one of them. And he said no. And then he said, wait a minute, what'd you ask me? What'd you ask me about who do I believe is what? And they said, do you believe that Putin is a war criminal? And he said, yes, he's a war criminal. Turned around and walked away. Okay, that was a shift. Now, I can tell you right now, it also wasn't planned. it wasn't planned. And, you know, Jen Psaki and the comms team were like, oh, crap, and they had to go into high gear. Understand that being branded a war criminal is an international legal term, all right? You can throw it out there and use it as a general term, but in terms of what it really means when a head of state uses it, there tends to have to be almost a legal terminology that describes why you would say that. Well, the president of the United States just said it. So today, though, when it was more well thought out, Secretary of State Antony Blinken gave his speech, his presser, and he announced that Putin is guilty of war crimes. And he also said this is the Secretary of State saying this, there will be a response to the fact that these war crimes have been taking place. Deliberative targeting of civilians is unacceptable in today's age of modern warfare. Will there be collateral damage? There always will. Wars are occurrences in which people die and things get broken. But I can tell you right now, the U.S. Army, when we go into a zone like that, we tend to have a protected target list and we try to avoid certain things. And I can just tell you, a theater building with 1,000 civilians hiding in a massive basement, that's not a legitimate military target. It's not. There's no weapon storehouse in the bottom. There were no secondary explosions that came out of that place indicating that it was loaded up with ammo. It was a place that was marked, and they targeted it anyway. Well, last thing I'll tell you is apparently it's getting rough for Putin, and he is getting super paranoid, and Putin is purging right now. He actually said today in a speech that Russia must undergo a self-purification of our society to root out traitors. What does that mean? Sounds a whole lot like Khmer Rouge telling children to report on their parents and Pol Pot making sure the death fields were filled with dead bodies. It doesn't sound good for Russians. Sooner or later, the Russian citizenry is going to realize they've got to get rid of this guy. All right, Copper, take us to our last break of the day. We will come back and see if I can actually touch on what was supposed to be the triple dipper number 3. What is the national interest? I got some good stuff on that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, folks, the temperatures, they are a-changing, and we're getting into those warm weather months right now. You need to get that heating and air system serviced before we get too deep into the hot. All right, so I'm just telling you right now, you need to consider giving Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning a call. The guys at Vandy's, they will come out 6 days a week, mind you, literally, they'll come in Monday through Saturday, and they'll check out your system. They'll service what your needs are. They'll repair things as needed. They'll install if you need it. But by the way, they're not going to upsell you. They're going to give you a free estimate before they do any work at all. And they are good at what they do, gas or electric. It does not matter. They serve Madison, Huntsville, all the surrounding areas. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, a locally owned, veteran-owned small business. You can find them at 256-225-7311. And by the way, they got a special running right now. If you want to get your system serviced for the warm weather, $69 per unit. They'll get them all cleaned up and serviced and ready to roll. And if you get serviced by Vandy's and have an issue with your system for the next year thereafter, 10% off of any repairs. Hey, that's pretty cool. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. Right here in the area, 256-225-7311. That's 256-225-7311. 7311. Tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Well, listen, I talked about some of the most recent events in the war in Ukraine. This is a legit war. There are people's lives being ended and communities being devastated. This is of epic levels right now. We're watching whole city blocks being flattened. What is in the American interest, though? Dennis Prager wrote a very cool piece that I read early this morning. So Dennis Prager says basically the same thing. What is in America's interest? He talks about the fact that the left, he said if the left was concerned with America's interest, then it wouldn't advocate for open borders. If the left was concerned with what's in America's interest, it wouldn't advocate for policies to take us away from energy independence. If the left was concerned with America's interest, it wouldn't advocate lying to our youth by telling them America is systemically racist, that it was founded in 1619 or fought the revolution to preserve slavery. He talks about the fact that the right tends to look at things in America's interest from the opposite side of each of those issues, and we should, by the way. But then he said, in foreign affairs, he points out, what's in America's interest is never quite as clear. And he goes straight to the issue of Ukraine. And he points out, and I agree with him on this, he said some people on the right, even the left, they don't want to put the entire blame for the war on Putin. They want to argue that, well, Putin felt threatened by NATO. No, he didn't. Not for a second. Nobody really believes that that Putin felt like NATO was going to suddenly attack him. That wasn't going to happen, and he knows that. Why? Because NATO countries are not the aggressive, take your territory and break your stuff nations. But he goes on to point out that nonetheless, Russia being ruled by a paranoid dictator without a conscience, we don't have to honor his paranoia. We don't have to make him out to be like Hitler. I mean, he is like Hitler is what I'm saying. All said and done, America's interest is maybe not to put our troops on the line, but he says, and I agree, that America's national interest is best served by making sure that they have what they need for the fight. I agree with that. MiG-29s, Su-300 anti-aircraft, more Stingers and Javelins, give them the money to fight and prop them up and then stand on the border and be ready in case Putin tries to come across. That's the national interest. Do not allow this to go any further. All right, folks, more of that tomorrow. We'll have a better update then. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right. Wow, we won't be right back. We'll be back on tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Right now, the great one, Mark Levin's coming up. Y'all have a great night.